outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
You, sir, are imbued with the God-given gift to respond to questions that are actually answers with answers that are actually questions.
You get every single one right.
Yes, you've accumulated a vast fortune, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, with a handful of knowledge and a fistful of buzzer.
You've made more money than her.
And you're a whole lot funnier than Alex.
But that's not really saying much.
I'll say. So the next time you think you're smart enough to be on that show, plop your brains on the couch and drop your jaw in salute to Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, a real American hero.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Sorry, form of a question, please.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Monday, May 24th, and Kara is in the studio on time. Beautiful as ever.
Oh, thank you, Sam. There's
a little bit of that car backup,
and, you know.
You still made it on time.
Man, aren't you proud?
I'm amazed. I can't imagine what time you would have gotten here if there was no traffic. You would have been here really early, huh?
Well, you know what happened was I looked at the clock wrong.
Ah.
So you know how you've got certain clocks that are jacked up and you think they're fast?
Uh-huh.
So maybe it was a God thing. Because I kept going, oh man, I'm running late, and then I looked down and I was like, wow, I'm super early. Like, I'm not super early, but then it leveled itself out. I still got my Starbucks on.
You did.
I got my grande coffee. And you know how you can sprinkle in vanilla or chocolate, but they've got like two little holes,
uh-huh.
and you try to sprinkle and you get like a couple of pieces of dust. I'm like, hell to the no. So I pop the whole thing off, and then I dump it in. Hopefully nobody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always falls on my hand a bit. I take the excess that falls on my hand and I sweep it into my coffee too.
Uh huh. Okay.
My friend calls it a poor man's mocha. She's like, that's a poor man's mocha.
Oh, man.
You know, it's
but
also,
Starbucks is good in the morning. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Do you drink Starbucks?
I do when I'm out. Not in the morning, though, because I don't have time. But I do like sitting there and talking to people and having coffee and stuff. It's cool, you know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering that about you. Let me turn this up. Hold on.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we had a great weekend here.
What'd y'all do?
Oh, no, I mean just in general, you know, it was
beautiful.
Great,
oh,
great
my gosh, you guys, so
weather
beautiful.
And, you know, it was cool.
I lived in L.A., but I came back to Texas to visit, and we had some friends, some neighbors that told me, he said this, an older couple, my aunt, friends of my aunt, okay, neighbors, anyway. He goes, I've been to L.A. and California a few times, and he's just said, it feels temporary. And I didn't quite get it till you live here.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes it's so beautiful that you know it's not going to last.
Why?
I feel that way. There's days, not like today, but there's days, like there was one this weekend, where it is this wind that's brisk, but then it's sunny and warm, and it's blue skies, and I go actually out into the earth. I do the hiking, I get up there, I get elevated, I see the skyline, I see the ocean, and I see the downtown, and you get in there, and it's just so beautiful, and it feels so good. I mean, most other parts of the country don't feel this good.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's you have
we
to
have
deal.
No excuses
yeah.
for being depressed here.
Get your act together. Come on. No, like in Houston, which Houston's cool in its own way, but it is like swamp weather. I mean, it's very menopausal. Like some, it's like hot flashes and then it's wet and sweaty. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of weather you have to adjust to and learn to live with. But it's kind of like, you know how they say you get used to the traffic here, but it takes you forever and you don't really ever get used to it.
Right.
In a way you do, in a way you don't.
I don't get used to it.
Yeah.
Man, I lived here for 33 years. I haven't gotten used to it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's getting worse.
Did
you notice?
It, of course, it's getting worse. Everybody's moving here, but
and new cars on the roads all the time. I mean, they sell so many new cars out here.
Yeah, it's a car dependent city. So the there's a little bit of a public transportation, but it's not amazing.
No, not at all.
Well, then you have the whole that aspect of it's hard to get used to the traffic here, or if at all. It's like that in Texas with the heat. You're like, well, you kind of get used to it, but you never really quite get used to it.
Right.
I mean, I went back to visit, and there's just days you walk out, you're like, I literally can't walk outside.
Really? Yeah.
It's not just hot. It's in your lungs. It's wet. It's in your hair. It's hard to breathe. It's just, there's days where it's just so unforgiving.
Yeah.
And just like the north, you know, there's places where it's so cold.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of people here, and I always ask, you know, don't you get used to the cold? And I guess they never do.
Yeah.
You know, they can live there all their lives, but they still can't stand it.
I mean, and if you look at those degrees of temperature and, and how where we live in comparison. Now, to you, it may be a little bit more familiar because I know Israel has a lot of the same weather, right?
Right.
Very similar, but it's just beautiful weather.
Right.
To live in a place that has 90% all the time beautiful weather. Do you know how how big of a contributing factor that is to your mood, your outlook, your personality? I think it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it feels temporary.
Yeah. Why does it feel temporary, though? I mean, after all we said, I still don't get why it's temporary.
Well, it wasn't my... Someone else said that to me, and I kind of looked at it, and I was like, yeah, just kind of the feeling of too good to be true type thing. The feeling of, like, we're on borrowed time and enjoy it while you can. And not like the sky is falling or anything's going to... Like, I don't believe California's going to just fall off into the ocean one day. But the idea of, like... I don't know. I look at things from... I try to from an eternal perspective. Of course, that's impossible. I'm not an eternal being on this life. But I kind of look at it like everything's got its season and its time and its purpose. So I don't know what that is, but I do look at it sometimes going, man, there's just something so sweet about it. There's just days I go out and I go hiking and I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It is. It's an overwhelming feeling.
I see. Okay. So you live in awe, and that's
sometimes
good.
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Not in Oz. But not, yes. And I think it's a great place to live. Sam, listeners, did you watch Lost? Do we have Lost fans? I need you guys calling in. Let's talk about this. I was utterly moved.
Wasn't it a 2.5-hour episode or something?
Yes.
That's like a movie. Yeah,
yeah, but it didn't it didn't feel like it was that long. I mean, they had a lot to wrap up. And, and to be honest, okay, I'll do a quick overview of what I thought. And I won't tell you because I know you haven't seen it. But...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was dying to see it, but I'm still stuck in season 4.
Yeah, well, you don't count then. You need to catch up hardcore.
I know.
You haven't been through the emotional turmoil that Lost viewers have been in.
I guess.
And I think that they've gotten a lot of flack this last season. A lot of people have been giving them shit like it's just, you know, and there's a lot of haters out there, a lot of Lost
really?
Haters. Yeah, well, anytime anything does great, there's going to be a lot of people being extra critical because they don't think they deserve it, or they're upset that it's not them, or they just hold it to a higher standard. And I understand the criticism because there has been so many twists and turns and subplot lines that it's just, it is a little exhausting. I mean, I recognize it. It is. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, but it's a guilty pleasure.
But
you know?
It is.
It's very enjoyable.
There ain't nothing guilty about this one. I got some guilty pleasures. This one ain't guilty at all.
Ain't guilty?
Ain't guilty at all. I love
see.
This one. But it is... I find it to be such a wonderful TV show that was a blessing because I felt like it was just so deep and life-giving. I mean, a lot of shows they're fun and they're forgettable or they're okay. This one I felt had a real heart and soul to it. So anyway, getting to the end result, my take on it is, was it intellectually satisfying to the nth degree? No. It's going to take time for my brain to kind of get all my questions answered.
I see.
Because there's too much there.
So you still think about it now?
Yeah, which I think is okay. Good. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still questions that I need to go back and watch to see what those answers were, mm-hmm. because they didn't really beat you over the head with a lot of it. It wasn't like everything was given a direct answer either. But the ending was so moving and inspiring, I felt like, and it resonated with me, and I was so grateful for it. I thought it was really wonderful.
Well, that's good. So I've got something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's good. It's not. It's more of an abstract type ending, and
right.
And the writer here, they're talking about it. This is on NJ.com Entertainment, and it's talking about Lost, and it says, okay, we think, six equally fascinated and frustrating seasons of ABC's hit drama came to end with a conclusion that delivered gratifying codas for beloved characters, though it maddeningly. Thank you. Can you say it? Say it.
Maddeningly.
Thank you. Madlenly sidestepped the show's legion of unresolved enigmas, which we kind of expected when, during the special to precede the finale, Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof summed up the drama this way, quote, "The show is, at its heart and soul, a character study. We were fascinated as storytellers by what makes people the way they are." Okay, end quote. Or we can quote from the finale itself. So this is a quote from the finale. Sawyer says, "Doesn't sound like he said anything about anything," Hurley says. "That's kind of true, dude. He's worse than Yoda." So they're kind of summing up that there's a lot that they kind of can get away with not directly answering and uh-huh. leaving it abstract.
Right.
Anyway, it goes across to just talk about a little bit more about it. And I felt like it was just such a beautiful ending. Mm. Now.
So you didn't go to a watching party?
No, and I wish I would have. See, my roommate, Claire, and I are very close, and she and I go back with Lost. She introduced it to me, and we did like one summer of just catching up. You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
We did that in like 3 months, but
really?
We did like season.
Yeah.
We caught up to like the fifth season.
Uh-huh.
And then we started getting on point, you know. And her husband was there. Now, this is what you can't have haters in the room. You can't have an intense viewing party of any kind with haters, because they like to chime in and put their two little nasty cents in, mm-hmm. and it's irritating as hell.
Yeah.
It's like,
why would they even be there, for crying out loud?
Well, I mean,
they don't like it.
He lives there, and what do you
do? I see, and
you
he's
know,
a Lost hater?
He's a hater, but he was there the whole time. He wouldn't shut up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, go away, or let's watch this another time.
Uh-huh.
I almost said that, but I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I had other opportunities to do things, and mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm not going to ditch my friend Claire. She and I have a bond over this show. And I actually could have gone done.
So it was an event.
I was going to go to a comedy show that night. I could have gone and met some bookers and do some shows and stuff, or mm-hmm. get up and do some stuff. I was like, nope. You know, and I'm not like a stay-at-home for TV kind of person. I'm the mm-hmm. first one to ditch TV.
Right.
But this was special.
But you like TV. You watch quite a bit, no?
I think I watch about a couple hours a week. Is that a lot?
Really? That's just
I know,
a
it
couple
sounds
hours
like
I
watch. No, I usually, if I watch something, it's usually on demand.
Mm,
you know,
I see.
Or it's been DVR'd.
Right.
So, yeah, a couple hours, or I'll go like a whole week and not watch anything.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
depends on how busy or not I am.
I see.
Like when
okay.
I was sick and I was home, I caught up on all the Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah. So I know a lot about that show right now,
yeah.
which is a great show.
Uh-huh.
But no, I don't really sit at home watching TV.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say a couple hours.
Yeah.
A couple hours.
I don't know. I have no patience for TV anymore. Barely
for
movies.
Do you watch any TV?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So news is the most I watch, you know.
Which is probably
and
better
it's
for
unfortunate because I want to watch TV. You know, I want to get like, I mean, we have a nice flat screen, but I want to get like the latest and stuff and really enjoy it. But I ask myself, what for? You know, I never watch anything. I barely even watch movies, you know.
Well, you know
when we
what?
Get a movie from Netflix, it sits around for 2 weeks before I get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the same way as far
yeah.
as, well, I watch more than you do, but.
Yeah. But some people are really into movies and TV. You know?
I love movies. And
I mean,
I love
there's
TV.
A lot of great stuff on there.
I love
know?
It. And if you're doing acting, it's great because you get so much out of it. And movies really speak to me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like God speaks to people in all different ways, through
mm-hmm.
nature, through movies, through, you know, people. And one of the big ways is watching people's lives, like through movies and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sarah, my roommate, she always says, she goes, you know, people aren't really going to church. They're going to movies.
Yeah.
And it's true, because if you look at the life of Christ,
mm-hmm.
he would always speak through parables, which were just stories.
Mm-hmm.
He would illustrate principles and spiritual truths through stories. Mm-hmm. And people were fascinated.
Yeah.
Not just because they're being entertained, but there's it's in an applicable but yet fascinating and engaging way mm-hmm. that people can connect with. And I feel like God, I feel really moved a lot through some movies. Not every movie.
Yeah. Only you would connect the pleasure for movies with God and Jesus.
No, a lot
no?
of people do. Yeah,
they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean a lot of people.
The people you hang out with.
Well, no, I know a
but
lot.
But how did you get to God from this? I mean, you know.
Well, it just depends on like where your focus is and stuff, and uh-huh. and I'm not like oh, I'm so great, but I just find God fascinating in everyday ordinary situations. Mm-hmm. Like if you go outside and you're looking at
outside is one thing
like creation you know? But you can understand it in that department right
yeah
okay well then sometimes I look at it when I'm watching a movie and I don't like go okay I've got to find God in this situation but it just sometimes things speak to you they yeah. just hit you deeper
right
not every movie there's a lot of stuff out
yeah
there.
I mean there's movies that speak to you but you know I don't see God's involvement in that but
well
you know
it's more of where the inspiration mm-hmm. it's not like the movie's about God or something
right,
but it's
right.
the inspiration of humanity. Mm-hmm. Like I remember when I first saw the movie Gladiator. Mm-hmm. Did you see Gladiator?
Yeah.
That movie really spoke to me in a God way, but like eternity, mm-hmm. because here was a man who he lost his family, his mm-hmm. wife and his kids, and now he's forced to fight. And it shows those moments where he kind of has these kind of in between life and death moments where he's walking through a field of wheat and he's brushing his hands on the wheat and he's
right.
off to go see it. Like he has these visions of going to see his family in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And that would just touch my soul so much because yeah. I think about loss and I think about brokenness and I think about people that in this lifetime have lost so much. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that God is so good that he restores all of that in the afterlife. It just touches my soul that, you know, it's not for nothing. It's not wasted. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So stuff like that movie really, really touched my heart in that way of like,
I
you
see.
Know, just.
Well, I say hallelujah.
I love you say, hallelujah. They say that like I used to go to this church and there was this one lady and this was a huge church in Texas, mega church. And this one lady, she had the hat on with the frills on the hat and she was old. But she had the best hallelujah, and she would always do it when everyone else's hallelujahs were over, so hers stood out, you know? She'd be like, hallelujah! And it was just so high-pitched and just happy.
Yeah.
So anytime, so it was like a running kind of thing that we'd always be like, hallelujah! Like
yeah.
Just, but yeah, she had a great hallelujah. And then
you know that hallelujah is a Hebrew word,
yeah.
right? Do you know what it means?
I know what I think it means. What does it technically mean?
It means praise God.
That's what I thought it meant. Yeah,
yeah.
Praise the Lord, praise God.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know a little bit of Hebrew.
Yeah.
Only from what I've seen. De'uki Adonai hu Elohim, right? Shivteha umnisharateha.
Well, it doesn't sound quite like it, but I admire your...
Well, probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's a really gorgeous three-piece or three-movement orchestral choral piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sung in Hebrew, and so I learned
Oh, really?
It. Yeah, and it's just it's just breathtaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they say... I've said it to... Elohim is uh-huh. one of the more reverent names for God. And I've been told in the Jewish community or maybe more in the Orthodox or, you know, that they don't use that word.
No, Elohim, they do.
Oh,
they do.
No, I thought that they just don't
Adonai,
use it.
Adonai, they don't.
Oh, I thought that Elohim is more sacred and you're not to use it casually.
Because
somebody told
well,
me that.
Maybe.
I offended, I think I offended like a rabbi or something.
You did not offend anybody. They just, it depends how it is, you know, but you call God, God. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's what it is. And God has different names in the Bible.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I don't see why you're not supposed to pronounce it or say it out
no,
loud.
No, I'm it's more of a question that was a very reverent name for God. And I've got I believe at one point there was a more Orthodox mm-hmm. Jew.
Yeah.
You know, the curls and the hat.
Yeah, exactly. They
telling
don't...
me that that's just not the casual name for God. That's
right.
more of a reverent kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't
yeah,
know
Yeah, very
that.
Religious people do that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the way it's written in the Bible, and that's the way you read it, you know?
Yeah. Do you, when you... If you, or do you, when you read the Torah, do you read it in...
Like in a prayer mode?
No, in Hebrew, and do you
Yeah,
read
in
it from,
Hebrew.
And you read it from, what is it, the...
Right to left.
Right to left. Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not.
How did
not
you get,
when you're
I
used
mean,
to it.
That's just, you know how like how brain science that seems to me?
Uh-huh.
When you've been taught to read left to right and that's the way words are written,
uh-huh.
are the way words written too left to right? I mean...
Right to left. Yeah.
Oh, so the words are right to left, but you read it left to right.
No. You read it right to left, too. Yeah. Only math you read left to right.
Wait a minute. I thought that in Hebrew it wasn't like a typical book in English where you read left to right. I thought it was the page went the opposite direction, or you read it.
Yeah, everything is backwards.
So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, so you start from like the end of the book, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And that's the beginning of the book.
That's what I mean. You know? So that is right to left.
Right.
Okay, so you guys do read right to left, but is the word
The word is right to left.
Really?
Yeah, and the whole sentence is. Yeah, everything is right to left.
That's insane.
Isn't it, though?
And you could do both.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It's hard to learn the language, let me tell you. You know, but the older you get, the harder it is.
Really? But you speak fluently, right?
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah, then why are you telling me it's hard to learn? You don't know.
Because? Why? Because
you speak it fluently.
What, English?
No, I mean Hebrew.
Oh, I'm talking about English.
Oh, English is hard to learn.
Yeah. Every language is hard to learn.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd imagine, yeah.
And, but, you know, I mean, I was always into English. You know, I liked the movies, the music, and everything.
When did you become fluent English?
I don't know. It's a process, you know. But when I came here at 16, I could already speak pretty well.
Uh-huh.
You know, and read and write and that. So it didn't take me much. But then you have to live in a place to really pick up the language.
Now, do you think in Hebrew or you think in English?
It's mixed. Sometimes I do this way. Sometimes I do it that way.
I've been told that's a form of intelligence. Mm. A friend of mine was a foreign exchange student from Germany in high school, and she was reading a letter to us, and she was reading it in German, but was speaking it to us
translating
in English.
Translating in English as she's reading it.
Yeah, and they were just saying to be able to flip those, to be able to do that so quickly and flip it like that, it's just such a different, it's a form of intelligence. Yeah.
I know.
And I was like, damn, I'll never have that. That's a level of discipline. I've learned some Spanish, but it is. I think the key is young is better.
Yeah.
But you can learn languages. I believe you can do anything in life. I mean, if you really work at it.
No, absolutely. You know, but it does get harder when you get older.
Am I picking up Chinese at 28? No, I'm not going to.
No, Chinese is very difficult. Very difficult from what I hear.
Yeah.
You know.
I know one word, and I don't even know if it's Chinese. It's ni hao, jai tian, which is hello and goodbye.
Oh, really?
Ni hao.
Well, so you'll get along there in China if you go.
Well,
you just say hi and bye all the time.
Ni hao, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I hear is that people there have really big problems with their teeth. You know, most people have like crooked teeth there.
In China?
Yeah, in China.
I think I got bigger
problems. And it's amazing.
Than
you know, I heard like, you know, you'll see a very beautiful woman and stuff, and then she'll open her mouth to smile, and the teeth totally destroy it, you know?
Well, I've heard that British people have kind of rough teeth. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard
that. Yeah, we'll take a look at a couple of their grills. But the reality is I got a jacked up tooth on the bottom. Don't look. You can't tell unless I'm, like, smiling, but I got one that pops out a bit.
That's okay.
It's I'm not going to stress.
We'll accept you with that, too.
Well, you know, I'm just saying I'm not perfect in case you thought I was.
Oh, well,
I'm
we
not.
Did think you were.
Yeah, I know. But so, no, when I get money, I'm going to get it hammered down. Keep putting that damn tooth back where it belongs, like in line with all the other teeth, please.
Yeah.
Smack it around a bit.
Well, it definitely doesn't stand out, though.
No, you can't tell because my teeth are pretty straight except for this
one. Yeah, you have nice teeth. You know,
Thank you.
Fit your face pretty nice.
They're kind of my top two front teeth are pretty big. Mm-hmm. And my brother growing up, I mean, he still does. Like I said, he doesn't realize that we're in our adulthood. He would always make fun of my teeth. Like, I don't really care because he's like my little brother, but we'll be walking and something will be in the way. He'll be like, hey, Kara, can you come chew this up? We need to move. He's like, come just chew it up real quick. And he's always going, you know, like, he does that stuff all the time. Like, you're such a dumbass, Matt. I'm like, no one else says anything about my teeth being so huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a little big, but still.
Yeah.
And they say,
no Bugs Bunny.
Mm-mm. Yeah. He tries to.
What's up, Doc?
That's pretty good, Sam.
I know. I'm pretty good with that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm like, Matthew, nobody's ever really made fun of my teeth except for you.
Yeah.
So.
I made fun of your teeth?
No, my brother.
Oh.
I was talking as a.
You said except for you.
Yeah, no, me and my brother. My brother's the only one that's made fun of my teeth.
Good. Let's not make it seem that I'm giving you a hard time because I'm not.
I know.
You know that.
You're
I
safe
just
on
told
this
you
one.
You have nice teeth.
No, you're safe on this one. Don't worry. No stress.
So how was your weekend?
It was a really beautiful weekend. I've been working really hard on my reels for certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm putting together a hosting reel and some comedy stuff. And so for somebody that is not proficient, well, first of all, editing in general is tedious and hard, right?
Right.
And then not knowing how to edit and trying to be an editor it just multiplies it by 10.
Yeah.
So I literally, I'm getting better, though. I'm learning how to quickly.
You know, you learn in the process.
Yeah, I'm learning how to do it, and I feel empowered. But I'm working on my website and a few other things to kind of launch some stuff. And I put together a great kind of flyer, one-pager to send out to colleges for comedy. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So I've just been working a lot.
So you're building a website for yourself?
Yeah.
KiraKimbrough.com?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been working on it a long time, but it's one of those, I don't have huge pressure to get it out there. And you know, when you're really creative, it's hard to make decisions on what you want to look, how you want it to brand and
look.
So.
And it's not easy doing web design, you know?
No, but I'm doing kind of one of these programs that are on the internet.
Pre-made already.
Yeah, well, you can customize it like crazy.
Right.
But sometimes it says, there's a great quote that says, and I don't know who it's from, it says, out of the need comes creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's when somebody says, okay, I've got like noodles and cream mushroom soup and pepper, make a meal. And you're like, you get creative with it.
Right.
But when you go to a grocery store with endless opportunities, it kind of paralyzes you sometimes.
Right.
Same thing with design or anything creative. It's like out of
the in business in general and marketing.
I bet it's the same way, right? It's when you're limited, and then you have to be creative.
Exactly. That's how people come up with ideas. You know, it's like, you know, why didn't someone do this? Why didn't someone do it this way and that way?
Yeah.
And then people decide, well, I'll make it that way.
Yeah. And it's out of the need comes creativity. So when I look at web and I look at the endless possibilities, I go on 5 different bunny trails and then get rid of them all and start all over because I have so much in my brain. And I'm like, okay, this, okay, that, okay. And then I'm like, just do something. And then I go back to something simple and then I hate it and I start all over.
Yeah, you got to focus.
Well, it's not that I'm not focusing. It's just I have so much. I'm so incredibly creative.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm like creative Einstein.
Yeah, I guess I forgot for a moment.
Don't forget.
So did you do anything? I mean,
I did. I went to a really cool comedy show Friday night.
Really? Where was it at?
It was in Marina Del Rey, actually.
Oh.
Really cool place. Yeah. I got up and did a little bit of stuff. And did a show that night. And then...
Oh, so you did a show.
Well, yeah. It was kind of like a underground type room where they're not really... It's more... It's kind of that, it's exclusive. But it's not really exclusive. It's just off the beaten path, which is really fun because you meet great, cool, different people that you wouldn't meet. And it's just fun.
Right.
Sometimes there's a lot of different rooms throughout LA that are kind of emerging rooms and things like that that have maybe more alternative styles mixed with regular stand-up, and you get to kind of see different people go up.
Right.
So that's really cool. It was a room like that. Mm-hmm. And then what did I do? I went on an amazing hike yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, almost started my period on the hike, though.
Really?
Almost.
I thought you just had it, didn't you?
I thought I was about to just have it.
Really?
Because this is the thing with periods. Sorry, guys. You get like the, oh my gosh, I'm about to have my period any minute now for like a week.
Really?
Before you have it. So it's kind of like a 2-week process.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It really is. And so I was hiking and on my way back, I was like, this is not going to be good. I'm like, I've got to hustle my ass home. Uh-huh. Because I even walked the hike and then hiked and then walked back.
Oh, really?
Because I'm like, it's so beautiful. Why would I take my car?
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, you know,
so, but you didn't start spotting on the trail.
What a period like word, spot. Did you not start spotting? You know, people don't need to know that. They don't need to know about that stuff.
We do.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. Does period stuff as a man, does it turn you off from sex? Like, I know some guys that don't care, and some girls, and some guys
It doesn't
do.
Turn me off from sex, but I'd rather not have sex when you're on your period.
Oh, okay. So you'd prefer not to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I used to when I was really young, and it feels like, you know, I just slaughtered a chicken or something, you know. It doesn't look pretty.
No.
Especially if you're going to go down there and stuff, you know.
No, don't go down there on that. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree.
So nasty. Oh, yeah.
No, but it's a great great resort for men.
Well, I'm just saying, if you did it in the shower or something, then it can kind of, you can kind of do it and then let it
Yeah,
just
but
know.
It's still, you know.
Still gross.
You pull out and it's all bloody and everything.
Yuck.
I don't know. I'm not into it. Some people are. Some
I don't
people
know.
Don't care,
I mean,
you know?
I haven't really had a whole lot of experience on that topic, but I know that it's a more ravenous time sexually, like right before your period.
And
I think
really?
I think it's because your body's saying, it's like a pregnant thing. You want to get pregnant. I think your body's like, okay, it starts to rev up.
Yeah, it's like I'm ready to reproduce.
Yeah, and so it's kind of ironic that it's the time when you're like, come on, I need it. And then that's the time your partner's like, let's wait this out. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
So I started another internet dating thing.
Ah.
I gave it up for like a month, and I was like, I kind of miss it because it's just fun going out with people.
Right.
And meanwhile, I live with a married couple, so they're not in the game.
Right.
And then I also live with my roommate Sarah, who's just, she's just not into it. Like, she's not into, like, she's extremely picky, which I respect, and so am I, but she doesn't date, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe she does. She goes out occasionally, but not like.
Yeah, well, she's totally not into sex and stuff, so I can see.
Yeah,
that,
and but not that
But how is she ever going to find someone if she doesn't?
Well, I think that she's really career focused. Mm. And to be honest, when I'm in the tunnel vision of working on all my stuff, it's the last thing on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see that in people. When people are really in the zone of doing their thing, they're down, you know, they're like, boom, I've got to get out here, I've got to get all this together.
Yeah.
You're not really thinking about, hey, I want to meet somebody. I mean, I personally am not. And in a way, it's great because you get stuff done and you're focused and you're not really thinking about it. But give me I love attention and I love men. Mm-hmm. So give me like one day of just relaxing and not working on my stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, let's see what's out there.
Yeah.
And I know I won't even have the time to even really invest in it because I'm too busy. But I did it yesterday.
You see, I don't know. I think saying I'm too busy and not you, but Sarah, it's or focused on career and stuff. I think that's an excuse. You know, I can do both. Many people do both.
I mean,
it's
if
not
in
like
building,
either career or relationship.
Well, it's I think you're right, but everybody's different. And I think when you're in the real birthing of something versus in it, like you're doing your business and you're running this place and you're kind of already established and you're still working and maintaining it and building it, but you're not like in those crucial building block stages.
Right. Yeah.
And I think when you're nothing's off the ground and you're trying to get those big dreams off the ground, it takes a lot out of you.
It does. It does. But at the same time, like I said, you know, I mean, I would make time. But that's me, you know.
Well, and I go on and off. But it's just funny because I've got this roommate who she made a joke one time. Well, she wasn't making a joke because I think she's kind of judgmental in this department. But she's like, yeah, you're trolling for men on the internet. And I was laughing my ass off. I'm like, I'm trolling. I'm a troll now.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to scoop up men on the internet. I do this like once every 3 months. And it's funny. I was like, it's 2010. Online dating is not bad.
Right.
It's not horrible. And me, compared to people who do online date, I take these huge hiatus. Like, I'll go a year and not do it.
Right.
Or then I'll go through, like, a month here, a month there, on and off. And I think that, like, what's so wrong about that? But I really think she's got an issue. And then second of all, I live with a married couple. So in a way, what I'm saying is it feels kind of like it's this dirty secret I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's weird. I'm like, I shouldn't feel ashamed about this.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm doing anything bad.
No,
but I've got
this
weird, like, I'm a career-driven woman. I don't need anybody. And then I've got the married couple. But actually, Claire thinks she loves to hear about my stories. And she's like, go after it, girl.
Yeah.
Claire's the first one to tell me to go get crazy. She's like, go after it. I'm like, don't encourage me. I don't need encouragement. But anyway, so my point is, I wanted to ask you, how long were you doing J-Date until you met?
It was only like 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks, actually.
And then you met Dina?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I dated like a couple girls before that, but... You know, I mean, one time we just went out.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know.
So your first time to do online dating, and you met Dina in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Like,
didn't
I
have
know.
To waste a lot of time, but you know, when I was like on Match.com months before, not months, even a couple of years before that, nothing happened. You know.
How
I was
long were you on Match?
I don't know, for a month or so. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I quickly realized it's just not, you know, because you know what happens is the girls that are worthwhile, they get hit on so many times that you just become another one of those people.
It's probably hard for guys.
They may not even notice you.
Yeah, it's probably really difficult for guys. Huh?
It is. It really is, you know, because you have to. Because
guys are the pursuers. Guys are the ones that have to compete.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Compete for your attention.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's the way I like it.
I'm sure.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure you don't. You'd rather be pursued than do the pursuing.
Well, I think it's gender roles too.
Yeah.
To a degree.
It is gender roles.
I was explaining this to these comedians the other night about. We were all hanging out, and I was like, yeah, second date, I went on with this guy. He actually wanted me to pay for the bill, and we ended up going Dutch. Uh-huh. And I'm like, that is like the shittiest thing, right? It's just cheap. I mean, second date, whatever. I went off about that. But I feel like this town has a lot of everything. Everybody's in a different place, emotionally, financially, mature-wise, career levels. Everybody, I mean, that's pretty much anywhere. But there, in the South, it's different. I think yeah. In the South, there's just more of men are men. To women, you know, there's kind of those, it may be too much to a default, I mean, too much to a fault.
Right.
Whereas out here, you kind of have the gamut of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys were saying, they're like, well, why is it, you know, what's the job of the woman then when she's on the date? Da, 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 da. And I felt like I was like teaching kids, but I didn't have a problem with it. I felt like I was kind of breaking it down for them. And one of the things I was saying is, you know, women are to show up, you know, on time.
Right.
Look great for you.
Exactly.
They need to be. They need to be asking a lot of questions and bring life and joy to the conversation, and they need to always be respectful and grateful. Mm-hmm. Done. That's what their job is. That's it. It is on the first.
Okay, so not taking any initiative here or anything.
Well, not at first. Not at first, because I think
so. You're suggesting for a woman to be passive.
Well, in a way, yes, because I think that men are to be the pursuers, and this is what mm-hmm. I'm talking about. It's not that they should have a lobotomy and they shouldn't initiate ever, but there needs to be a period of time, and then it flexes throughout time, right? But there's that initial time where the man really needs to put his best foot forward and needs to fight for a woman. Mm-hmm. I think men, ideally speaking, want to feel like the woman that he's with is really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's always giving everything out easy, and I don't just mean sex, but I mean if she's like so low maintenance that he doesn't have to put forth any effort, if she's just so emotionally, here's all my whole story right away, if mm-hmm. she's like so totally available right away, I mean, I think what happens is those are great qualities that become a turnoff because he hasn't had to work and there's no mystery, he hasn't had to get to know her. So I think there's a period of time where... And because men are like hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they need to feel that they get to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you make it intentionally hard on a guy, because I don't think that's right either. I mean, you shouldn't be like withholding and you know, but I think that it's important to have kind of a, I hate to use the word game, but kind of this back and forth in a way that both parties get to feel like a man and like a woman.
Yeah.
And then as you get to know each other, it turns into something deeper,
right.
And you reveal things over time.
Yeah, but why do you have to think so much about it? I mean, you go on a date, you just kind of like be yourself.
Well,
you
and know, it's fluid for me, but right. I'm just saying this because people have all these questions and these guys don't know what the hell they're doing sometimes.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, like these guys are like, well, then what's the point? What's this? And I'm like, well, do you want to date a guy?
Well, maybe they don't know what they're doing, but maybe the woman can help them.
Well, know? As a friend of men, like when I have guy friends, I'm pretty open about just... You know, this guy, I think what happens is people feel used.
Mm.
There's a lot of usury. There's a lot of, hey, I'm pretty and hot, pay for everything. Mm. And then they give nothing in return. Nothing emotional, no life giving. They're just bloodsuckers, right?
Right?
And then you have guys that are like, hey, I paid for everything. Give me what I want now. So you have this back and forth usury mentality. And so I think so many people feel burned and used that they don't really want to embrace certain sides of their gender role, if you will, on a date, because they're afraid and so they're guarded that they're not going to get, you know, or they're going to be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm noticing. But yet there's some things about those gender roles that are good. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying.
I see. That's what you're saying. Okay. And what I'm saying is we're going to take a little break. We have a guest coming at 10, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the Morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So you know who was found dead is...
Oh, no.
Do you remember Brittany Murphy?
Yeah.
Who died a few months ago? Well, her husband was found dead.
How?
I don't know. They're saying there's no signs of foul play, and they're not releasing as much information, but...
That's tragic.
It is. It is. You know, I mean, nobody would know him, and, you know, I always feel bad when someone dies. But, yeah, I don't know how he died. But that's pretty sad, huh?
Man, that's really sad. Yeah. And it's not like somebody, there's no blood or anything like that. It wasn't.
No.
It was just like.
Yeah. Probably natural causes. Who knows? Maybe from, you know, maybe he was heartbroken when she died. You know, some people really, they, you know, someone dies and they go right after that, you know? Usually it's with older people, though, I think.
Yeah.
Have you seen that happen?
I haven't personally, but I've heard of it where people just. Yeah, especially with dogs, too.
Mm.
Like, if they're both kind of old and one dies, the other one's like, ah, fuck it.
Really?
That's mean. But, you know, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You know Let me join them.
Eh, I'm done, too.
Yeah.
You know, Pixie just went, so Princess is going, too.
Yeah. So, listen, so I discovered something good about being 50.
What?
And they just had a study released, and they said that at 50, the stress levels go down quite a bit, significantly. And so
is it working on you yet?
It is. I'm not as stressed out as I used to be.
I mean, I haven't known you forever, so I don't know what you used to be like.
Yeah.
You seem pretty laid back.
I know I do,
but
right?
But you've got a little wound up side on some things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You
but
should
I
see me when I get mad.
I don't like seeing people too mad, other than I think it's funny. Like, on you, it's funny a bit.
Yeah? Because you're not used to it?
Well, because you're really... You're even though you give me attitude, you're really gentle. Like, you've got a gentle heart.
When do I give you attitude?
Oh, just when we get into our stuff on the radio. But other than that, you've got a pretty gentle heart.
Yeah.
So it's funny when you come in and you're like friggin' a-hole and you're like cussing somebody out underneath your breath. It's funny to me.
Yeah.
It's like this. You're like this engineer type thinker. This kind of like, you know, more what is it, left brain. You know.
Who, me?
Yeah, you seem very left brain. And so when you get going, because you're just kind of everything's in its place, I notice that you straighten up a lot. You're more of a detailed kind of person, would you say?
I don't know. I still can't decide if I'm left brain or right brain.
Well, I think with most people, exactly.
I'm a lot into creative stuff. And,
well, you are, and I mean clearly you're in radio, and you're. But I'm saying your real major skill sets wouldn't probably be just creativity. It'd be probably a mix, but more
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I analyze things.
Yeah, I just think that there's kind of a very practical side to you, a very logistical side,
right,
would you
right.
say?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I don't think everyone's just this or this. Like, I'm obviously a lot more left brain thinking, very creative, right. But I can...
You mean right brain.
Yeah, sorry, right brain thinking.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I'm only right brain, but... I'm definitely more right brain than left brain.
That's more dominant on you.
Exactly,
yeah.
More dominant. Like, my friends will make, or I have a friend that she just can make lists and categorize things and come up with systems for organizing.
Right, that's too
it's
much.
Not that I'm it's not that I'm incapable, but it literally makes me want to throw up.
Really, yeah.
And it would take me about 10 times more brain cells to get done what she got done. I could do it, but it would take me that.
Yeah. You see, I'm bad that way because I forget things, but I don't write them down.
But you're mathematical, right?
Yeah, I guess in a way.
Yeah.
But I can't decide which side I'm on.
But you've got, I mean, you know all this tech stuff. You're very tech savvy.
Yeah, but that doesn't
your
mean
business,
that,
your business,
you know, that's
your businessy,
my
inclination. Yeah, but you've got a business background. You're tech savvy. You kind of like things clean. Like, I noticed that you like, you know, you always like make sure shit's in its spot.
Yeah, well, I was born to two Virgos. You can imagine.
I don't know what Virgos are. What's
Virgos are very neat, very organized.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I grew up that way. Although my brother, one of my brothers, he's totally the opposite, you know. I don't know how that happens.
Really?
Yeah. He forgets his shit everywhere.
It's like me. I mean, I try to tone it down. I mean, My best is moderate. Like my best is I'm pretty good at keeping central places clean.
Right.
Or decent, like the living room or the kitchen. I'm pretty good about maintaining those places. But when it comes to my room or.
Yeah. Do you just drop your clothes on the floor when you change?
Yeah. But then really? they eventually go in my closet.
I see.
But I mean, right away.
I just don't understand clothes going on the floor. I mean, what's the point? You know, you can just take it and put it in the hamper.
It's usually... Well, no, they get thrown in there eventually, like like a minute or so afterwards.
I see, okay.
It's kind of like you're in a rush. See, people that are very social, that's my priority. Mm. So I will let everything else that maybe should be put together fall to the ground and then deal with it later. Because I'd much rather be running off to go meet somebody that I'm supposed to meet for coffee or get something done that needs to be done that I'm motivated about. And so there's a lot of things that fall by the wayside. It's just different ways of thinking.
Right.
And
so if you have like clothes strewn all over the room, you're not, it doesn't bother you.
No, it's not that bad because you got to, well, if it was I share a room. I told you that.
Right.
So if I, like when I had my own room, it can get that way. But then I clean it up. I mean, I can't live that way, but it can get that way. Like if I've had a busy week, it can be a disaster.
You see, mine would never. You
never.
Know,
no, when, that's
when
my thing. It's a different way
when
of thinking.
When I was single, people couldn't believe that I was single and there was no woman involved in.
Because it's just so clean.
It's clean and it looked neat and everything, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, stylish.
No, I mean, call it what it is. I mean, by nature, my natural state without working on it is very, very messy.
Mm.
But I've made a lot of improvements.
Right.
And I mean, it's, like I said, when it comes to central locations, I'm really good about staying on top of the dishes, making sure the bathroom's clean, living room, things like that.
Yeah.
As far as my room goes, I have to restrain myself a bit because I share a room. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly having to compromise the space.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But it still isn't like, I mean, my closet is overflowing. But
really?
That's pretty much where my shit stays.
Yeah.
And right by my bed. So it's not too bad, but it's... Yeah, but I mean, I'm definitely one of these people where it's not that I like living that way. It's that I don't want to put time and that and effort in that area.
Yeah.
I'd rather be doing other things.
Right.
And so.
But you see, that's the thing is that it doesn't. That's what I don't understand about people that are messy, because the thing is that it becomes a big deal to clean up and everything, because it's like, you know, now there's a mess.
Now it's a huge mess, yeah.
Right, but with me, it's like I clean up as I go.
Yeah.
So if I take off my clothes, they go right in the hamper, you know?
Well, you're constantly maintaining. You're constantly maintaining. But I think it's just people are...
I mean, if I make like a sandwich or something, everything goes right back as I'm making it.
Yeah.
Right back in the refrigerator, you know?
Well, there's something...
So it's not an effort. It's just part of how I do it, you know?
And it's just people are different. I mean, I don't really say that there's a right and wrong. I mean, you just have different priorities. I mean, like for me, it'll get cleaned. It just won't be right away. And yeah, sometimes it's a hassle. Like I have to do my laundry. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You see? But to me, it's a turnoff if I go into a woman's house and it's messy, you know?
Well, and I think
found
I understand.
That many women keep the bathroom pretty messy, you know, with all the...
Makeup and stuff.
Makeup and the, you know, blow dryer and all that.
Our place is very moderate. It's very middle of the road. Mm. And of course, when we have people over, we clean like crazy.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it a nice environment.
Right.
But when you have a lot of roommates, the maintenance level has to be higher.
Yeah.
And then it still just looks moderate. Because we don't have a dishwasher.
Mm.
So, I mean, literally, you know, somebody cooks a meal, we have to do dishes.
Right? Yeah,
or
we have to do
dishes, like, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if that doesn't get done, you have, like, dishes hanging out.
Yeah, all piles up.
Mm-hmm. It's not horrific, though. I think we actually do very well for having 3.5 people living there.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, but it's so fun. Like, Sarah just went to Canada. She went back for 3 weeks.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, so it's weird because I'm like, oh, I've got all this space, and then I'm like, oh, I miss Sarah.
Yeah.
She's my buddy, man. She's like, Kara, what am I going to do without you?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going to be having any fun. And I was like, we didn't discuss this trip. What's this trip about?
Yeah.
So I took her to the airport, and it's weird because even though it's good to have some space and distance to get things done, it definitely has changed the atmosphere a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because we just, you know, you have some people you're really close to, and they just get you, and you guys have deep chats, and you... They get where you are in life, and you get them, and you guys have that kind of intimacy.
Right.
Yeah, we have that. So it's like, oh, man, my bud's gone.
Yeah. Do you ever bring dates home?
No, but we do dinner parties and stuff. I'll invite guys over.
Right, right.
But not, like, sexually, like you mean, like...
Not sexually, but, you know,
by
just
myself,
a guy...
I just don't have the space, you know?
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, the space.
You came in there and you have people all around you, and, you know, it's not that...
Yeah, I mean, over Christmas, I was dating a guy for 4 months, who I broke up right when I got the show.
Oh, okay.
And he was over a lot because everybody was gone. Mm-hmm. They all went back to Texas or Canada or whatever. And so he was over a lot, and we'd have, like, dinner parties, or just he and I had cook for him and stuff like that.
Right.
Bad move, though. Bad move.
Why?
Because I was dishing out the affection way too soon. I was just like, hey, let me cook for you. Let's just hang out and chat. And so he just kind of got, like, a little bit, like, take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a turnoff. It took me 4 months, and I was like, oh.
I don't think because it was too soon. I just think maybe that's the kind of guy you
are. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
See, I don't believe in those games. It's like, you know, I feel if you feel like cooking something for a guy, then do it, you know?
I don't agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and you're a guy too, so I wouldn't expect you to totally understand.
Yeah, but you analyze things too much.
No, I don't. I'm living life, man. I'm thinking it through and I'm enjoying it. I'm asking questions to understand things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not passive about living. I'm proactive.
I see.
Okay.
Okay. Hi. Well, we'll appreciate that.
Okay, thanks.
What can I tell you, you know? So so they're saying that there's a headline here, more moms opt for phone sex jobs.
I mean, it makes sense.
You know, it's like amazing sometimes the people that you find out that do this this phone sex stuff, you know, and it's not like even attractive people or anything.
Because it's about fantasy. It's not about the real thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not really looking at them. Do you want to know a crazy job?
Yeah, you know, and you work from home, and, you know, only if you can talk and turn someone on, then you can make a lot of money that way.
I got a job, this was a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and it was for, it's called Chat Lounge Live, and it was for the UK.
Yeah.
And they had webcams.
Uh-huh.
And we were, me and this other girl went and sat on a couch, and we would just talk. And I was option number 8, she's option number 9. And people viewing in the UK could call in and talk to us live while we're looking at them.
Really?
Now, we were the daytime show,
right.
So it couldn't be anything sexually suggestive because of the laws.
I see.
So if they were flirting and they tried to take it sexually, we had to hang up on them.
Right.
So it was very, very strict.
Yeah.
But you also had to get them to stay on the phone a long time.
Right.
So I got really good, and I only did it for 2 weeks because I started to feel, I just felt gross about it. I could, even though I didn't do anything bad, I just felt like the atmosphere was weird.
Yeah.
But to keep them on the phone, if they were trying to get sexual, I'd quickly like turn it around mm-hmm. before getting caught,
right.
and then take them on a trail, a bunny trail, down a different conversation,
mm-hmm.
and get them to stay on the phone and rack up all those minutes. So I was doing really good, actually. But the show right before us was the nighttime show, and we'd get there right before they were leaving, and they're just on, they're like naked on this couch, not totally naked, but topless on this couch, and they're going for it. I mean, like, I looked in there, and this woman was just, you know, she's giving the illusion as though she's like, you know, pleasuring herself
mm-hmm.
on this chatling, and I'm like, I gotta sit on that couch. I mean, they wiped it down and cleaned it up and stuff, but I was like, this is just not my proudest moment. I definitely had those not my proudest moments. I mean, I didn't do it, but, you know, and not to judge her, who knows, but it just was one of those things where, but you wonder, like, who calls in and spends money on this shit?
Yeah, there's a lot of lonely people.
It's a lot of lonely people.
Yeah.
And sex sells. It's just, it was weird, but I was like, hi, I'm Kara. I'm option number 8. Call
you
me.
You gave out your real name, really?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I say get your shit out there because when you make it big and people are going to try to pull up dirt, I'm like, you ain't telling me nothing I haven't already told the world.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to put myself on any pedestal. Like, look, I've done crazy jobs. I've done stuff I'm not proud of. There you go. Boom. Done.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah. I think our guest is here.
You seen anybody here? Oh, Mary. Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Well, Mary let herself in, so that's good. We don't have to take a break.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Why don't you sit over there, Mary?
All right.
And we have Mary Kennedy in the studio. We'll let her get situated here. And Mary just started her new show on the station, Kira.
Cool.
And I asked her to join us for the morning.
Yay.
Hi, Mary.
And I'm not a morning person. So
you're not a morning
good.
Person?
No.
How can that be, having kids and everything?
Oh, it's very frustrating. Isn't it? See, I can't even do the earphones here.
No, that's not the way it goes. Kara,
I know. Help me. See, this is what happens. I'm like, and it's 10? Yeah. I this is how I act with them. I'm a zombie until, you know. Here you go. Until I drop them off at school at 11. So it's, yeah. You know, it's all the way. Thank you.
So how many kids do you have?
I have two. And they're kids. 19 months apart.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
Are they pretty young?
Oh, they're 3.5 and almost 2.
Oh, really? Wow. You get your hands full.
I do, but I got my hair done this weekend.
Yeah, I noticed. It's fabulous? A different color. It's very nice. It suits you.
What color was it before?
It was a weird mousy. I have children brown. Yeah.
Call it like it is, huh?
Yeah, no. And so I met my hairdresser, and he's like, and it, you know, as a mom, you don't come in for months.
Right.
And so he found white and gray and all these different colors. And he's like, you have highlights. They're just white and gray. And I was like, all right. And then he did my hair. And so now everybody thinks, you know, I had a makeover. No, I just got my hair cut. So.
Well, it looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. So you started your show. In fact, it's on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, right?
No,
7. Oh, 7. What am I talking about? You see, I'm getting so confused with all the new shows and stuff. I'm sorry.
7.
Tuesdays at 7 on Channel 1, Mary has a show called Oh Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about the show. What is it about?
Well, it's with my gay best friend, Paul Jasek. He's my co-host. And he was a writer for How'd You Get So Rich with Joan Rivers.
Uh-huh.
And we've been friends for years, and I think every straight woman deserves a gay man.
Yeah.
Like, really. I mean, I wouldn't get dressed in the morning if I didn't know him. So anyway, he co-hosts, and I am the host, and we talk about, you know, topics that are fun and relevant. Like last week it was customer service.
Yeah.
And he's had issues with Pep Boys, and I've had issues with my doctor's office.
So oh, really?
And we had all these call-ins. All these people were, you know, totally outraged about customer service, which is great. And Tuesday, tomorrow, we have a real live ghost hunter comic.
Really?
Yeah, oh, who's coming on? Karen Towski, she's coming on. And actually, Paul is a intuitive.
Uh-huh.
And he does tarot cards. And I'm just going to sit and be freaked out for the hour because I'm all freaked out about ghosts. So,
yeah.
But that's what we do. So it's fun, you know.
Yeah. So you're open to ghosts, even when you're scared of them and stuff, right?
Well, yeah, I think we have a ghost.
It is a little spooky.
Yeah, we have a ghost in our house, I think.
Oh, you do?
In our new
house.
Why?
What's going on?
Well, I think it's actually, my husband says it's the cats from down the street, but I hear somebody walking down the hall, and it's not my daughter. It's not my husband because he's at work. It's not my two-year-old. And so I don't know. I think it's cats, though. I think we have cats that are underneath our house.
Underneath the house.
Who keep, when they really? Jump, it sounds like somebody's walking down the hall.
Yeah.
But
Paul
was over my house a couple days ago, and he goes, I think you have a presence. And I was like, that might be gas. Like,
that's funny. No, we have a horny cat outside our every night, like around, like once the evening hits, give it to me, basically, is what the cat's saying. It's just the cat's in heat, and nobody's put this damn cat out of its misery. And you think, how long does the heat process last? Because it's been going on for like a month.
I'm like, wow.
I'm like, somebody needs to take the cat out. And I mean, I'm not a cat person, so I mean, I hate to say kill it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just figure
it needs
out.
To have sex, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be banged for a little bit.
It needs to have kittens, right? Is that what's going on?
Like, no, it needs to mate.
It needs to mate.
Right, yeah.
Procreate,
yeah.
That's what they're not. I mean, most animals, they don't really procreate for pleasure. It's totally just biological.
You haven't seen my old dog from my childhood. That dog would have like sex on my leg. It was frightening. It was scary. So.
Yeah.
But no, wow. So,
it's
but
funny,
the cat's pretty damn loud and annoying. It's just loud, annoying, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But
so
anyway,
is there any cats? Well, see, we have a guy on our street that has 30 cats. It's frightening.
30?
And
isn't that illegal?
Yeah, I reported him to Animal Rescue.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, of course, because, you
somebody
know, I'm
to,
that
right?
neighbor, you know, that you I report everybody.
I love that neighbor, though, because, I mean, too many cats to me is a psychosis.
Oh, it is. And he leaves the door open in Van Nuys overnight, which, if
really?
You know, yeah.
Not
yeah,
a good area.
I used to live in Van Nuys.
Yeah. And so that's what's going on. I don't know what to do with that. All I know is maybe the ghost from my house can come over and mate with the cat. And you'll
How does one keep track of 30 cats, for crying out loud? You know?
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, and the guy next door who moved in the short sale foreclosure next to him, put a huge sprinkler system up.
Uh-huh.
So now when I walk the kids past the house, the kids get sprayed.
Really?
It's that long of a distance. because he hates the cat. So
really?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. So you reported him, and what happened? Did they come and get the cats?
Well, it's so funny. The animal rescue guy came, because I also reported a chihuahua as well. There was a rogue chihuahua.
I'm glad you're not my neighbor.
I love her already. Please take care. Yeah, I love her. Somebody's got to be that neighbor, though, to reel in the crazy.
Well, I know, but the rogue chihuahua. So anyway, the rogue chihuahua is actually my next door neighbors two doors down, who keep a wonderful yard. So I got in trouble because I shouldn't have reported that one. But the animal rescue guy comes, and it's true. They have like a huge net.
Uh-huh.
They look like a huge beekeeper.
Really?
And he comes to my door, and he's like, I can't find the cats. I said, where are you? Like, no one can miss the cats. I mean, there's it feels like there's thousands of them. He's like, I can't find them.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, my aunt, okay, Texas, so it's a little more appropriate.
Right.
But we lived in this unzoned area, so people got away with shit they should never do, like fireworks, three-year-olds lighting off fireworks,
oh,
things like that. You know, that kind of stuff, like five cars on top of each other. Hey, it's decorative, that kind of thing in your lawn. So my aunt would put the cat food outside for her cats. Well, there's tons of strays. So we kind of had like the cat drop-in place where they just kind of come around when they wanted to get a bite or two and then leave. So they never really stayed there too long, but they'd hang out. And you just can't shoo them all away. And this is like, it's Strayville, USA type place. Mm. So we started naming all the cats that would come by. And one was called Tux because it was black and white. Looks like it was wearing a tux.
That's funny.
Then another one we called Old Dirty Bastard because he literally looked like you know, a little old. He had shit in his eyes, and he couldn't even see very well. And when he'd try to scoop the food, he'd like miss. You know, he'd scoop the food into his mouth but miss. And so my aunt was going to try to nurse him back to health. So she got this ointment stuff that
This is Texas.
Oh, but she was like, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save him. So she got this ointment that she got from the pet place or whatever. And she's been putting it in his eyes, only to find out later that she's supposed to give it to his mouth. Like, it's supposed to go in his mouth.
Oh, wow.
And she was putting more shit in his crusty eyes. And she just made him more blind.
Wow.
Aww. Yeah.
Mary, do you have any animals at home?
Oh, no.
No. That's why you reported the cat.
No, we're not. I mean, I had a dog. I had Sherlock growing up, who was possessed by the devil, who thought he was a cat. He used to sit next to my grandma, like, on the little end table. And he hated children.
Yeah.
Like, hated us. Like, and we had this dog who hated us. And so I decided that I wasn't going to do pets. But Rebecca wants one now. My daughter wants one.
Really?
She's so excited because one of the strays hangs by our house, which is so annoying. But anyway, so she's like, kitty. And I'm like, no.
No kitty.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah, get
no.
her stuffed kitty.
Yeah, yeah. So no, I don't, not, no. I'm not really interested.
Yeah. I love dogs, though. But yeah, I wouldn't. If I accidentally picked out the wrong dog, and the dog came home and had no personality and never warmed up or was always just antisocial, I'd take him back. Yeah. Sorry, you're not doing your dog job. I'm not. Your job is to be my best friend and love the people I love and do fun stuff. And if you're not doing if you're not holding up your end of a bargain, well, then how could I say I'm going to feed you every day?
No, you're right. It's like a man.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, sorry, gotta go.
Do you have any pets?
No, I don't. I couldn't live with animals, you know. When I was married, we had a dog and then another dog, and then they went out and got some cats, my ex-wife and the kids, and I just couldn't stand it. You know, I couldn't stand it. I mean, I love dogs, but I can't live with them. You know, I can't live with an animal in the house if there's hair on the furniture. You know, they poop, they salivate. Yeah. You know, it's just not, no.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll get back at you for leaving them alone in the house, you know. I mean,
they'll tear it up.
Yeah, literally. Or they'll shit on the carpet and, you know.
Yeah, they'll make sure that you, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the tenants before us had cats, and so we're still cleaning up the,
pulled
rugs out. Yeah, because it was a short sale foreclosure, so we had it as is. But we pulled out rugs, and we're still, there's one room in the house I go in and I sneeze horrendously because I'm allergic to cats, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not, but Rebecca wants one, so maybe a goldfish.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, or get her a nice plant.
Yeah.
But
be careful, because with my ex, that's exactly what happened. She had a goldfish, and he died, so then she wanted the dog as a replacement.
Oh, no.
It's not quite an even exchange here, you know?
That's funny.
No, and then my brother had all those pets. Like, my brother had lizards. Like, I don't know where my mother was saying, sure. And I remember my old aunt stayed over one night, and the lizards got out. Mm-hmm. And they were freaked. I mean, they freaked because there's lizards on his wall and everything. I mean, it was hilarious. So we were like a farm growing up, so I think I'm kind of over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the exotic animal thing. I can't get into that. Like, hey, I just picked up the snake. Thought it'd be cool to hang out in the house and just, Like, I have a friend. She has one of those, like, white and yellow snakes. They're kind of pretty, but they're still a snake.
Yeah, like a boa constrictor? Like
they're little. One? They're little.
But the smaller ones, yeah.
And she had one, and it shows it on her pictures, like, playing with it, like, holding it on her fingers. I'm like, this is a snake, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're not cuddly. They're not going to They're not going to get emotionally attached to you. You know, just let it do its thing.
They make a great purse, though. I mean, that's true. I'm a little shallow that way.
No,
I mean,
that's good. No,
I like that. I accosted somebody with a Louis Vuitton backpack at the chicken cafe.
Really?
Because I hadn't seen one, and I was like, where did you get that? And it's like a rare diamond to me. Oh my God!
Wait,
snake would be dead in a little clutch. I'm not kidding.
So cute. So what are the? Are you way into Louis Vuitton?
I am. I can't. I mean, I'm not gonna. I got a little Coach purse for Mother's Day. A little and that's but Louis Vuitton's too
pricey. That's cool.
I mean, if mommy's happy, we're all happy.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Happy. No, but I love it. Like a Coach store is a museum to me. It's like going to the MFA in New York.
Yeah.
You love it.
I have a moment of silence.
Yeah, it's
I've never been a real purse person. I mean, I love a good purse, but there's people that go to a different level with it. You're probably in that category where they stare, they price comparison, they look at the trinkets on it, they look at the detail, the stitching, they are up on the latest model. You know, like some guys are into cars or something. It's like some women with their purses, right?
Yeah, I don't get that bad because I'm only Coach friendly and Louis Vuitton friendly.
I see.
Okay.
Anything else?
Prada, I'm not. Not very much into. Look at me. I sound so. You're like, what?
No, I
live in Van Nuys. It's not like I live in Beverly Hills. I act like I do, though. I'm like, you know, I want to do a Real Housewives of Van Nuys like they do.
Yeah. But you know what? The Valley's very hit and miss, though. So it's not like Van Nuys is totally junky. I mean, there's people that have cute places and homes and stuff. So I think that the Valley's pretty, you know what I mean? It's got a lot of, it's pretty much intermingled.
Yeah. But Van Nuys is just not considered a great area, you know.
No, I lived in a rough ass place in Van Nuys. You probably didn't live where I lived.
Where'd you live?
I lived Victory and Sepulveda, and I lived across from a halfway house.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, they have prostitutes over there.
I'm
not kidding.
No, and before I found my place and my roommates, and I was straight off the boat from Texas. Like we had to stay in a hotel, and we found the cheapest hotel we can find, and you don't know this shit when you live in Texas. You don't know this, and especially when you're 20 years old, you don't know this stuff. So you don't know people do
this.
Were
you at the Royal Arms?
I think it might have been the Royal Arms. Yeah, and it's where they flip it, right? They flip it.
Yes.
We got in there, it was...
I think they have hourly rates there, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like, we went there and it smelled so thick and nasty, like, and it was hot. There wasn't any good AC. It was smelled really bad, and we're like in there laying down, going, this feels really wrong.
So did you leave?
Yeah, we left. Yeah. We didn't stay there, but it was just, you probably could catch something just being there. But I mean,
It's the Royal Arms. I'm sorry. It is.
It's
sorry
on Sepulveda, right?
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. No, I'm not in that area, thank God. I mean, but you know, I mean, it's like one.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Because they did a whole, like, investigative reporting on the prostitutes on Sepulveda.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, like, they hang out at the Western Bagel. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah, it's not like, you know, I mean... The
Western Bagel.
I didn't think there were street hookers anymore.
Oh, well,
yeah. Santa Monica Boulevard and Hollywood area, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a
really,
lot of...
That's
more transsexuals or transvestites.
Oh, yeah, the 6630, like, around that area by the Carl's Jr. Yeah, I know where they are.
Yeah.
But they're transvestite-y, and they're fun and fabulous.
Well, they are.
The girls
are.
By my house are a little...
Yeah. But it's funny because you get your different kind of prostitute hoods, you know?
Well, when we were in Hawaii, my husband and I, we ran into prostitutes in Hawaii.
Yeah, there you see them.
Yeah.
They're like in the corner, and there's a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
In Waikiki?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
Like across... They're right there where all the tourists are. It's amazing. Kids walking by and everything, and it's just a very touristy area. And
then, like, no shame? Like, it's, like, right
no
out there?
Shame,
or
yeah.
is it... It's still illegal, so, I mean, I'm assuming...
It's still illegal, but they... Would you say there is, like... It took us a minute to realize they were prostitutes.
Yeah.
It's not as blatant.
Only because they're gathered there and they're dressed sort of like, you know, provocatively and everything. At least that was my experience. But, yeah, you go downstairs from your hotel and they're right there.
You know what I felt was weird? I went to Las Vegas the tourist thing, but I was only there for like a quick day. It wasn't like we really lived it up. It was more we went there for another reason. We're like, oh, let's go hit up the strip, that kind of thing. So I brought like a cute LA club outfit, real frilly, really like, I'm going to Vegas, you know, that kind of outfit with heels. Well, we didn't really do it up, right? So we're walking down the strip. And
you gotta talk into the microphone, my dear.
Sorry.
Move over.
Yeah. You've got so.
She's forgetting. You know?
Okay, so
you're
listen.
Killing me. You don't have to eat it, you know.
No.
When you turn.
Okay,
there
we've
you
been
go.
Scolded. I got it. We're good. Let's move on. So basically, Vegas. Here's the deal, Vegas. I was walking down the strip, wearing my outfit, and I started realizing everybody's has a fanny pack on with tennis shoes. And then I see these trucks going by with big advertisements for prostitution. You just have to call the number.
Mm-hmm.
And people are passing up. And it hit me that people probably thought I was working it. Because
really?
Well, because if you're not really in the club and you're just walking down the strip, mm-hmm. and everybody's wearing like Midwest, you know, Midwest.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fanny packs. It's tennis shoes.
Florida.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's very Ohio. And they're walking, and I'm like, cluck, 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 with my fake-ass light, looking like a drag queen, because that's how you do it, right, in L.A. When you go out, you're like, let's put our drag queen on, right. Okay? And I was like, oh, they probably think I'm advertising.
Well, you make money. See, I'm a comic, so then I would have made money off
done?
Of it.
What
I would have said, you know, $100, and I would do jokes in the corner. I would
perfect.
Have, I
yeah,
mean, I would have tried to make some money.
My capitalist thinking just wasn't full gear. I was just taking it all in, like, something feels off.
Well, yeah. I mean, Vegas, but I was just in Laughlin, which is sort of the cheaper version of Vegas.
Mm. Laughlin, Nevada.
I heard it's pretty nice there, though,
it's
huh?
It's beautiful.
There's a river and everything.
Yeah,
right?
And it's so nice. And it's everybody smokes. Everyone smokes, which is fine. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, they start it's drinking
much,
at 7 a.m. And then, like, until they go to bed. Everybody drinks and smokes. Even kids, yeah. Like, little babies are in strollers and their parents are, like, chain smoking.
I know. And you know what gets to me when I go to Vegas is the casinos are so smoky. And I'm a smoker, you know, but I won't even smoke inside the casino because I can't stand the smell. And you go, what about the people that are not smokers? They have to smell this all the time and breathe it, you know? And they don't do anything about it, you know?
Well, they had non-smoking areas in the casino, but the club, the comedy clubs that I was in,
you could smoke. Yeah.
So it was like when I was in New York City performing, I would have to wash my clothes at night and all that stuff. I mean, that was a little a drag. But it's so interesting, like you know, and I used to be a smoker too. Like, do you smoke from 7 a.m. to like midnight every day, like every minute?
Not every minute, but I go through a pack a day. But I always smoke outside. I don't smoke inside my car. I don't smoke inside the house, anywhere.
Yeah, and they were smoking like in the McDonald's.
That's how it is in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting better, but I mean, your eyes would sting. I mean, to be in a place that's so filled with smoke, your eyes are watering and dripping down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
To me, it's like totally like unthinkable to smoke indoors now. You know, it just feels weird.
Because it's nasty. It's just not cool.
Yeah, it is. You know,
it's nasty.
Where's the smoke going to go?
It's not 1960s.
No.
We see Mad Men. We're not into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not our thing, you know?
Yeah. You know what the funny thing is? When I watched The Exorcist like a few months ago, and that was from back in the
70s. Just for fun, you just wanted to brush up.
They're showing you a hospital, and the doctor comes out, and he's smoking a cigarette right there, isn't it? So... Go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, no. What I was going to say is that can you – this is very interesting to me. I used to have a friend that would smoke all the time, and there were certain parts in Los Angeles that we could go to where he could smoke.
Mm.
Can you still do – like, can you smoke outside at the Ivy if you wanted to or no?
If I'm sitting outside you know, when there's tables outside and stuff, I'm still not comfortable because there's people next to me, you know, and I don't want to disturb them with the smoke. So I will – yeah, like yesterday, we sat outside, but I wanted to smoke, so I walked to the parking lot and smoked
there,
you know.
I think I really respect that. I really appreciate that, actually, because now I think there are some mandatory laws of certain businesses that have to be within 20 feet of the establishment. Like, you can't just even be outside. Now, most people don't enforce it, but they could if they wanted to.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and they tell you it's okay to smoke there outside, and they have ashtrays, but I don't feel right because people are eating, you know, and when I eat, I don't want to smell smoke, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a very considerate, very weird type of smoker.
I think that's great. I had a girlfriend of mine, she's like, can I smoke in your car? No.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, no.
Especially when the window's up, you know.
Well, the windows were down, but if you don't smoke, you smell it all.
Yeah.
Even if, like, a piece of it hits you and smacks you up the nose, and it's just a little bit, but you still smell it, and you're like, I'm not happy with you now. I'm resentful that I said yes.
Yeah.
But it was such a 70s thing. I mean, I have such
like fond memories of my mother drinking a tab and smoking her cigarette in our green car and like yelling at us in her Boston accent. Yeah. Like, you know, there's something about that in your car. Yeah. I mean, that's what we were brought up on. So for me, it's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of felt like I was home in Laughlin. But also, I noticed a definite change because we were on a smoking floor the first night. Mm-hmm. And I definitely saw a definite change in my sort of body. Mm. And then I had to move rooms because actually our sink
broke. Yeah, the room smelled like smoke, huh? I know. That's terrible. You can never get that smell out of there. You know?
Yeah,
especially in hotels where you can't even open the windows. Yeah, that's pretty
rough.
Bad.
It's rough.
So I was going to ask you, so you're originally from Boston?
Boston originally,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And when did you move out to L.A.?
Well, I moved to New York City first.
I see.
So I went when I was 18, I went to college in Boston. And then when I was 21, I moved to New York City.
I see. And how long did you live there?
6 years.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Did you like it there?
I really liked it. But I also knew if I wanted to do television and film, I'd have to come out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they do, like...
a lot of stuff is going on there, too, right?
Yeah, but point of organization and casting usually is out here.
Oh, people really?
Don't know that. And but Law & Order films out there. You know, Sex and the City did. You know, there's a lot of that. But I knew... I always loved L.A., and and so then I moved out here, and I moved out here with my husband now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So you met in New York?
We met in New York. He was living in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I was in New York, and I thought he was gay. Because he was moving to San Francisco for a job, and I was like, oh, he's gay. And we became really good friends, because I dated a lot of gay men before my husband. And then we became really good friends, and then he took me out on his birthday in New York. He came, and the rest is history.
Wow, so what do you mean you dated a bunch of gay guys? Did you really, like, they were closeted? Or?
Oh, yes. And we did a lot of going out to restaurants, and I was fine because I was a Catholic girl, so I was like kind of saving myself. But to a point, it became like, really.
Am I saving myself? Or are you saving
myself? Yeah, why am I saving myself? And I said to my last gay boyfriend, I said, you know, let's just have sex. Can we just do this? Because I'm saving myself for marriage. And there was the Catholic side of me that was like, that's really sweet. And then the like Mary now, kind of the slutty version of me was like, he's gay. Like I knew, and I was like, but whatever, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then after I dated the gay guys, I met a lot of straight men. And then dated a lot of straight men.
That's a line you never hear, my gay boyfriend.
Well, I think that I kind of get it. Like, I dated a guy one time that, you know, you're just trying to figure out what your type is. And he was like the director sensitive guy, and he's got a masculine side, but he also has this kind of like, I'm so emotional because I'm so artsy and I need somebody to be strong for me. Be strong for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it lasted like a month. But I was like, and we're still friends, but I look back, and you know when you look back at people that you dated, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Even my friends, and he's actually a neighbor, so my friends time for time go, do you believe when you dated that guy? I was like, we don't.
Well, did he see, the biggest red flag for me was that they never really wanted to fool around. Like, the straight men, like, I dated a race car driver. There was no problem.
Yeah.
Like, there was no, like, let's chat about, like, no problem.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my husband, Charles, like, there was really no problem discussing sex. Like, it was going to happen. With the gays, it was a little bit like... they would much rather go and, like, see a musical. I'm not kidding. I mean, I know that sounds cliche.
Yeah, the guy, I guess, at dating, he wasn't gay because he was way into sex. But
there was
an emotional reverse where I felt more masculine. Like, I was more the man, like, holding the shit down and keeping the boat afloat emotionally where he's like, I'm just having an issue because my production, you know what I mean?
So maybe not. Maybe he's not, just mentally unstable.
Maybe, you know, maybe he's just one of these, like, maybe over-narcissistic
Prozac.
Artists. Yeah, maybe that, too.
Well, and that's the thing. So, yeah, I dated a lot of those guys, and then I met Charles, and we moved in together in the U-Haul.
So it was a decision you made together to, in the U-Haul.
Yeah.
And so what was he in entertainment as well?
He actually was a web tester, and that's what he does. That's sort of his day gig, but he was a writer, too.
I see.
And now he produced his first feature 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so he's a writer. He's a producer. But he has no interest on being on camera.
Right.
None.
Really.
And that's what I totally am glad. Because I did date the actors and the comic. I dated a comic, which was
don't
a disaster.
Do it. Don't do it.
No.
I do stand up myself, and I dated one comic. Who was the more sane, very, just seemed like the good guy, and it just doesn't matter. There's something that it does or it attracts or something where it just it does something in the brain.
Well, and a woman comic told me this. I said, what's the difference between male comics and female comics? And she said, generally, what I find is a lot of female comics have the mom component that they want to have a child, so the focus isn't on them entirely. And that's why I said to my husband, I said, why are you married to me? I'm a comic. Like, that's suicide. He goes, no, because you're not, it's not always about you all the time. Right. Most of the time, but not all the time. Whereas male comics, yeah. I felt like, and it's, I always felt they were on. Always on.
Yeah. Really? Very on, and very much like this guy I was dating was on the road a lot. He still is, and he comes back, and it's, look, I'm not some girl in Idaho that thinks you're so awesome all the time, and then you get off the stage and wants your autograph. Like, I'm not your groupie fan or whatever. This is real people time where you have to actually listen and compromise. And I think the road kind of screws with people's brains because they live kind of in solitary, and then they go on stage and they're like, amazing, everybody loves them, and they don't have to deal and they don't have to deal with real people. You know what I mean? They're not having. And I think that something screws up. People get screwed up when they don't have to compromise and deal with real day-to-day relationships. They're doing their own thing. They're a star for their 30 minutes or whatever, and then they leave and they go back to their little shithole of life. You know?
No, it's true. And here's the deal. Like, when I went on the road, luckily, you know, Paul, my co-host, came with me, and he did some time too. So I had a friend on the road.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more lonely when you're like, especially female comic, when you're, and I'm not a big drinker, so like, I go back to my hotel room and watch television.
Right.
But the male comics are out on the make. I mean, I'm not saying your guy was, but this.
Oh, I'm whatever. Who knows?
You know, the straight guys were like, you know, after I'm going down to the bar to meet, you know, my du jour of the day, you know, and I was not into that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, there's kind of a sadness. Like, kind of a weird, lonely thing. Well, but I'm attracted to comics, but I'm like, shut it down, Kara. Shut that shit down. Shut it down.
Yeah, no, I would. I mean, whatever.
No,
so
but
did
I'm
you always feel you wanted to be a comic? I mean, is that something in your blood or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Because my fam, like, we're Irish Catholics and, you know, we had our share of tragedy. I mean, I'm a Kennedy. Like, I'm not in the big fam, but I'm a second cousin. So some of their tragedy sort of, but it's like mine was white trash tragedy.
Uh-huh.
Theirs is like Camelot tragedy. Mine was a little bit of white trash tragedy. So, you know, you had to be funny. And my mom was really funny. My dad was too.
Really?
And so, you know, I mean, we would make jokes at a funeral.
Really?
Just because it's like, really. We were, I mean, I'm not, some funerals were so boring. And my mom would like, my mom has a band.
That's
my mom has a band.
Still does?
Still does. She's in her 60s, still has this band. It's like, really? Like, she was playing Moni Moni, like, when I was 16, and she was like, I'm gonna play for your prom. I said, oh, no. And we got a DJ, thank God. But my mom wanted to play for my wedding. I was like, uh-uh. I mean, she's great, but she's
so
not my...
That's so cute. Yeah, she's not your thing.
No. And so, but yeah, so we would...
A cool mom, though, huh?
She was cool, yeah. But, I mean, it was... I mean, I was in bars, like, 13 to 16.
Yeah.
I played her manager.
Really?
Like, I would dress in her dresses and be 16 and be their manager and be like, they need to be fed. Like, you know, I want to be paid right now. The band has to be paid before they go on stage. I mean, this is me at 16.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really funny.
And so, but that's what I did. And so we always cracked jokes. We always did. My dad was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very, very funny.
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
I have a little brother.
Uh-huh.
He's 4.5 years younger, but he's in the military.
Oh, really?
And he's stationed in Aviano, Italy, and he's totally Republican. Like, great. We have nothing in common. My brother and I have not, except that we have kids.
Yeah.
Nothing in common. And my dad was a Republican too, which was shocking. So those two were like the military business guys, you know. And my mom was the creative, and I was the creative, and you know, we just really funny family. And then I decided that, you know, I wanted to be a comic. I was representing actors in New York, and I couldn't be an actress.
Oh, really?
So a friend of mine said, try comedy because it wasn't a conflict of interest, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Wow.
How did you like the scene doing comedy in New York?
It was great. It was hard. But there was a lot of female comics that I came up with that would say, oh, you know, the male comics make it so hard for us. They make it really hard. And I'm kind of one of the guys. So I never felt that way.
Yeah.
I never felt like I had to work harder.
So you never felt like that real different kind of like you're not in the club?
No, I didn't. I will tell you the women that I came up with. I came up with Lisa Lampanelli. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, she coached me. You know, she brilliant. I mean, the women that I came up with, Kareth Foster, she was on the Ima show. Like, she, like, the women that I came up with were so good.
Yeah.
And so great to be around that we had this clutch of women that really supported each other. And the women that were sort of like the party poopers, we didn't really deal with.
Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Because it just didn't, and then you ostracized yourself with a guy. So if a guy wanted you to feature for him, Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to pick you if you were like, men suck in there. Because they do. Yeah. You know, I have my thing about male comics, but essentially they're the ones that are headlining across the country.
Yeah. It's so not you kinda, us. Kind of play your cards right.
Yeah.
Right?
And Lisa's not going to have a female feature for her at mm-hmm. this point in her career.
Really?
She's going to have a man because...
She's
the
star.
She's the star. So, you know, it just... It was hard in the sense that I was doing 7 shows a week. Mm-hmm. That if I was not funny, the audience would tell me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like bombing in New York. You learn so much. And not that I bombed a lot, but when I did, I learned so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was hard, but it was really good. I'm glad I had my training. Because then there's the L.A. comics here who get their training just in L.A. Mm-hmm. and don't see... and they're either really gorgeous. I'm talking about the female. Mm-hmm. Really gorgeous. Or sometimes even have people writing for them.
Oh, a lot. There's a lot of that going on.
A friend of mine,
we were on the show, Tracy. She writes for a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's partly.
Was that Tracy Doherty or Tracy Esposito?
Tracy McDonald.
Oh, yeah, I know Tracy.
Yeah.
Do you?
I mean,
oh, cool. Yeah.
No, but she's, she does her own stuff, clearly, but she's, sometimes people will approach her to write for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm just like, why do comedy if you're going to just act? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be like, hey, I've got this idea, but I really don't have an idea. Can you write it all for me? And, like, I'll just get up there and work on delivering it. And, I mean, it's just kind of like, why not just go into acting or something? If it's not your vision, if it's not who you are, you know what I mean?
Well, they may be actors.
Well, that's my point. Like, why not just do acting? Or they can't cut it as an actor?
It's exposure. Because they're probably sitting across this table with their agent and their agent saying, listen, kid.
Yeah, but I just think it's so
that's my
cool.
40s. My 40s. Yeah. This is good. No, but that's annoying for me because mm-hmm. you see it. And then if she's sleeping with somebody, mm-hmm. like there's a woman on television right now, her name shall remain nameless, but she's sleeping with the head of the network.
She's open about it.
Okay, so Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, she's open about it, but she's she just did her show at the amphitheater. I went to it on a date. It was fun.
Did you like her?
She
makes me want to bang my head against the wall.
You know, I actually like what she's got going on. She's not my favorite comic by any means, but I can appreciate her. It felt fun. Do I think she's brilliant? No. But I like what she's doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of a middle of the road.
What show made her famous? I mean, you know, I never heard of her until you brought it up. And
really?
Now I'm noticing she's written like 5 books or something. And
she started off on the Oxygen Network, right?
Girls Behaving Badly.
Yeah, which was kind of her shtick. Like, I'm kind of a dude, but I'm kind of hot at the same time kind of a thing. And mm-hmm. then she did... now she's on Chelsea Lately, which is one of the only, if only, female late night talk shows, and she's doing really well. But it's on the E Network.
I see.
And I like what she's doing. It's not my style. It's not my. It doesn't really move me one way enough to hate her or to love her. Like there's other comics that get my stuff going. But personally, you're not into her. I want to hear your go for it.
No, I just it's here's the deal, and I learned this from a dear friend of mine, and some of my jokes I have to trash because they're not.
Funny.
No, but the likability is not there. And then I come off as sort of like this mean person. Mm. Okay. Uh-huh. And I feel with her, it's mean.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like mean-spirited stuff. Some of her stuff on the amphitheater, the show she did, had less of the bite than her nightly show.
Okay.
So I felt like she went a little bit more into her own life, making fun of herself. And I like that when somebody can laugh at themselves. And I thought that was really cool. It wasn't the mean girl from high school. I don't like that shit.
See, that's what it is.
And there's a lot of there's some girls that are doing their thing. They're like, I'm the mean girl from high school. I'm like, go back to high school. Like, that irritates me.
But, you know, I mean, here's the deal. She has amazing success. But I think for me, it's like, and Sarah Silverman mm-hmm. was sleeping with Jimmy Kimmel. So good for them. Go for it. You know, my husband
I'm not a fan of her. I mean, I like, again, it's not a personal thing, but her comedy, it's just kind of like, it's still kind of that mean thing, but whatever.
But that's the thing. So what happens, and I think mm-hmm. also, is that, you know, I'm a mom comic now. I do mm-hmm. tons of stuff about having kids. Mm-hmm. So my audience isn't as mainstream as it used to be.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I would have bookers and managers say, well, if you were just a little bit more like Sarah Silverman, if you were just a little bit more like Chelsea Handler, and I'm like... I've dated gay men, and, like, I think I'm a drag queen. Like, what are you talking? Like, you know, and I – do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm a mom, and I have – and so that's where – because then you get put in these two categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's kind of where we are now. But in L.A., it's hard to watch new female comics who have not had the, like, training.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if they have the training in L.A., but have training so if you have a heckler in the audience that's bothering you, you can have the balls mm-hmm. to say – you know, do something witty, mm-hmm. riff off of it. None of the female comics that I've met sort of here that are up and coming, except for a few, but they've had training elsewhere, can riff.
Yeah. I think it's personality, too. Yeah. I mean, some people are fast on their feet, and some people are like, oh, that's my set. I got to stick to my set. You know what I mean?
Right.
But also, I've been told, like, you know, the road really develops you as a comic and makes you very adaptable and everything. But then also, I think people that have done only the road and they come back to L.A., L.A. is so industry-based. There's a coldness, a real cold vibe when you go to certain places. A friend of mine who's very successful doing comedy, he comes here and he has to work his ass off in the clubs because it's not a real audience. You know, it's not people that are paying that really want to come and get away from their 9-to-5 and laugh. It's people that are like all trying to make it. So there's kind of a more, I think, cold, critical view in LA. So I think both can kind of develop you in a way, but I think you do need the variety to kind of.
Well, where did you get your training?
I mean, I'm training every day, Sam and I. I mean, he's just making me do push-ups outside. He's like, get it in gear. He's like, you're not funny. I just, I wouldn't say that I'm not classically trained. I've done groundlings a little bit. Good. And I've been speaking from the age of 18. I was a speaker throughout high schools. And so it kind of, then the personality comes out. You're like, oh, I'm funny. Maybe I should do comedy. Did it here and there. And so things like that. I was on a web show for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not like, you know, I haven't arrived yet, but. I'm pretty damn good. I don't want to lie. I kind of like myself, but whatever.
But, you know, I mean, I respect people that feel they're funny and actually decide to make a pursue a career in this because it is hard, you know? I mean, it's very hard. And some people have, like, really long sets, right? I mean, you know, and it's like, how do you remember all of it? How do you try to stay funny night after night and stuff? So.
Well, and sometimes you don't. Like, I did a gig for 70 and 80 year olds at a JCC.
And girl.
It was paid. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. It was one of the most painful sets I've done in a while. Like, here I am killing in Laughlin. And then I come to, like, you know, oh, my, they hated me.
Really?
Sam, oh, my God. And I do this joke about ugly children.
Oh,
you hit the Jewish mother. My child's not ugly. She's gorgeous. What are you talking about? Like, literally. And I was like, oh, my God. And this guy comes up to me after, I don't want you to change your set. But, you know, we all have hearing aids. So you got to talk on the mic. I mean, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And those sets, but it's paid. So you're like, all right, I'll do it.
I had a corporate gig that my aunt is in child care. She's in child care industry. And the schools that she worked for was having like their big, you know, Christmas banquet thing.
Right.
And she got them to hire me. And I was like, yeah, making some money. Did my little corporate gig. And it was just like, I couldn't have been anything could have been the worst pick for them. Not that I'm not even a dirty comic at all, but it's like I do all this fun pop culture, younger stuff, and they're not picking up on it. And it's just, it was so uncomfortable. But you know, still, I was laughing all the way to the bank because what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, there's those gigs. And then there's the corporate gigs that you kill. One of the other worst ones is when they do a raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do a raffle before your set, and it's like, really? Like, you know, like $100 for this gift basket and the comedy stylings of Mary Kennedy. It's horrible. Or I had a gig where they had the raffle, and I did my set, and the guy was testing his drums behind me. This is like a $100 plate thing in Santa Monica,
really?
Overlooking the water. And he's like, da-da-da. And I'm like, really? Really, everybody? Still got paid, but I'm saying those gigs are, you know, where I really have to see who I'm performing for. I will never perform for 85-year-olds again.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if
doesn't
the money's
matter
right.
How much they pay, right?
It doesn't. Well, if I'm getting 10,000, you'll see me there. But I'm saying, but the $100 I made for that gig, my self worth was like. Mm. And then when you have a woman come out, you were cute. Yeah, that means you hate me.
That's funny. But you know what? It just makes you so like. I just think that gives you kind of like battle scars and.
Oh, please, I had 2 C-sections in 2 years.
She doesn't need any more scars.
Well, now you got it down then.
Yeah, for those just joining us, we're talking to Mary Kennedy, and she's the host of Oh Mary, Tuesdays at 7, right here on LA Talk Radio. And so I wanted to ask, so how long have you been in LA now?
10 years.
10 years. Do you like it?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
love
good.
It.
That's unusual. Not many people love it here.
I love it.
Yeah, I've grown to love it, actually, you know. It took me a while, but...
How long have you been here?
I've been here 32 years.
Oh!
In L.A. for a long time.
I think that people that don't love it just need to, like, leave then. I mean, I know they usually have reasons where they can't.
Right.
But it's just kind of like, don't do us any favors and, you know, do your thing. Like, go do it.
It's not about doing you a favor. Some people can't afford to move, you know. Some people have a job, whatever, you know.
I know. I get it. But it's still, It's still. Or here, let's take it to a different level then.
Okay.
How about the Canadians that move here that don't like the U.S. but are coming to make money off of it? Go yeah. back.
Like your roommate.
Like my roommate. Sarah, are you listening?
Is she an actress?
Yes, she's an actress. She's actually extremely talented. No, I love... I've met so many awesome Canadians. Mm-hmm. It's just funny when the people that are the most vocal are from somewhere else and they're coming here because they're, you know, trying to further the opportunity, and then they're like really like, I hate this place.
They complain, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of
shut. The hell with
up.
All the immigrants here.
Well, and that's a whole other story. But my mother, like, hates it here. Like, she...
L.A.?
Oh, she gets off the plane. You know, and she's
which is
like,
okay, but she doesn't live here, right?
Yeah, but she's a big fish in a little pond back in Massachusetts, right?
Oh, really?
And so she gets off the plane, and like, it's just, I can feel the backstabbing. I can feel the competition.
Oh, yeah.
I go, Mom, you're at LAX. What are you talking about? She's like, it's you know, backstabbing, you know? I mean, she doesn't like it. But, you know, my mother-in-law loves it here, and they love to visit. It depends.
Yeah. So you think, you said big fish, little pond. You think that there's something?
Oh, my mama loves it. I mean, I have a friend who just moved back to Boston to do film back there. Uh-huh. And they thought they were going to have all this film because they built all these things and they don't, nothing's happening because of the money. And also, you got to realize back east, especially in the northern states, you have snow for 6 to 9 months out of the year. Especially in Buffalo, it snows like 9 months out of the year.
Really?
Yeah. So to have a film company go to Massachusetts and film, you're crazy because you only have a certain amount. That's why L.A. works, because, you know, if we want snow, we can go up to Lake Arrowhead and we can film up there.
Right.
If we want beach and sun, we go either here or San Diego. I mean, there's so many opportunities and people don't realize
that. That's true.
You know.
And we have desert and ocean and mountains here. Yeah.
Within 2 hours. And then, you know, God forbid I need something. I need a boom mic. I can come here and get it. If you're in Massachusetts... You have to, like, go into Boston, pick it up, then drive. I mean, it's just a nightmare because we've looked at my husband's looked at locations in Boston. And so, you know, but I love it here. I love the weather. I don't love the taxes. The taxes are expensive.
Yeah.
But I love that every day kind of feels like it kind of like you're on vacation a little
bit. That's what I'm saying. I said to him earlier, like,
if you go in the park and sit in the sun, yeah, it feels just like it.
Well, yeah. I mean, like when you're sitting in traffic, I mean, there's different sides to the city, right? There's different faces. I mean, I live in Hollywood, and there's something about just living in the hustle and bustle that's great, but wears you the hell out where, you know, you just want to go to a grocery store or something. It takes a lot out of you, but it doesn't bother me. It's just, you feel things, and there's always these weird kind of universal things, like going back to your mind, the backstab, and I love that, because there's certain elements that happen in LA, or more so in Hollywood, I guess, where the car situation happens, where it breaks down, then it breaks down again, or, you know, you get those it gets those tickets. Oh, all of a sudden there's like a new ticket meter thing just turned on, and now you got a ticket, and it's universal. It's not just you. It's like everybody's kind of going through these weird kind of, I don't know, these weird kind of like forces and brick walls that people hit, but kind of bonds people together in a way, and you're like, you know, meter maids or whatever, and you kind of bond over that. But at the same time, you can get away from it, and you can go up hiking, and you're not even in the city anymore, and it's beautiful. And I love the diversity that the city has to offer.
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's a blast.
It is cool.
Feels good.
Now, Mary, you said you got a house on short sale. What does that mean? I mean, I've heard that happen before. What does that mean?
Okay. So we searched for a year, and we had to have certain... It's so interesting. Our bank, I call them Stank, so you have an idea of who they are. Our bank wasn't interested in working with Charles and I because they felt that we didn't have enough... Like, our credit scores weren't great. And I'll tell you, our credit scores were great. They're actually great, but they weren't interested because we didn't make over a certain amount of money.
Okay. Right.
So they said no to us. Then we went to Wells Fargo, and we said, we want to do this. And they said, great. And they approved us for first home buyer. So when you're a first home buyer, you only have to put down 3%.
Right.
But there's a certain sort of a lot of paperwork. And so we started looking at houses, and then we went back to the bank and said, could we be approved for this? And they tell you yes or no. So we were up for two houses. We were up for a house in Northridge that had no appliances, no floors. I mean, it was gorgeous, but there was so much work that FHA said absolutely not.
Really?
Because our safety, I mean, there was exposed wire, but beautiful. I mean, this house was gorgeous. I mean, but whatever. Then this other house down, same street that we lived on in Sherman Oaks, and now in Van Nuys, the same street, just different, you know.
Oh, okay.
We saw this house. It was a 5-bedroom, 2-bath, and we were like, we have to go. We have to do it. My husband wouldn't even look at it because he saw some structural problems. He's like, it's not going to be approved. I said, get your ass in there. It's 5-bedroom, 2-bath. Loved it. So we put a bid right then. But it took us a year to find this house. And then there was 60 days of paperwork, of stoppages, of they said they'd do this, they wouldn't. I mean, it was a long process. And in the end, we were so close to signing, we found out that the woman who lived there before us was a Mexican national, and that she wasn't even a citizen, and that she owed money on the property, and that we were going to have to pay for it. So there were so many stoppages. And so short sale foreclosure sounds nice, but there's so much stuff. That's why I tell this story, because there's so much stuff underneath you have no idea. So my advice to anybody is make sure that you have a real estate agent who knows what they're doing, because our real estate guy had no idea how to deal with this.
Really?
And so it was literally us. That deal almost fell through probably 6 times. And then through the grace of God or whoever is up there, finally we signed the paperwork. They moved out. We had trouble getting them out too. I thought it was going to have to be like...
So their house is up for short sale.
It was up for short sale foreclosure.
And they come along with the price. Or they're like, buy one, get one free. Like, you buy the house, they stay in the house with you. Is that the deal?
No. What happens is their bank loan, let's just say, their bank loan was, say, $600,000. Mm-hmm. They can't pay for it. They stop. And a lot of people do this, is what we learned. A lot of people just do it because they know that it takes so long to get out of the house that they can be in the house for a year for free.
Yeah.
So they stopped paying like a year ago. They just stopped.
Wow. And there's nothing you can do, huh?
Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Stop. Just stop. So the bank was upset, and they had it covered under 2 banks. And so then they finally did the paperwork, because they were getting sheriff was getting involved, all that stuff. They finally did it, and the bank approved for the loan. The loan was for them was $300,000 below sale value.
Really?
And then it was split between 2 banks. So the banks made nothing, I got to say.
Right.
And we went in, I think, how long? Like $10,000 extra, and we got it. Thank God. Wow. And we did it, but there was so much cleanup we had to do. I'm not kidding you. I mean, and what we found out was it was a boarding house for illegals.
Really?
Really?
It was a boarding house for illegals, and there was a refrigerator in every room, and I thought, oh, how nice. They can get, and then I found out, I was like, oh, and that's what it was, because I'm so naive. I am such like a little white girl from Boston. I was like, oh, there's and there's separate entrances. Oh, how cute. And then
I just loving it. You're like, this is going to be great.
This is going to be great. And then I found out that, because then neighbors were coming up to say, thank God you're here.
Really?
This was like a boarding house, and there was a lot of bad activity, and so thank God we're here. But next door to us is a house that's falling apart, and I didn't even notice it to the day I moved in. Really? I said to my husband, I said, was this house here? He goes, Mary, it's been here the whole time. I said, oh, I didn't notice it. So that's what I'm saying. It's a very long process. Mm. It's not easy. Sometimes the banks can say, no, we're not going to take it. We'll rather it sit and rot than take your money.
So would you recommend it or no?
Find a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. That is so good. That can show you their record.
Okay.
Of how many short sale foreclosures they've done.
Because that just changes everything.
Yeah, because this guy had no idea. I was telling him stuff. Because my cousin's a real estate agent in Maine, and I'd be on the phone with him saying, what's going on? And he's like, your real estate agent knows nothing. And so he kind of brokered the deal, thank God for him. And but there was stuff they didn't know. There was documents they didn't have a sign. There was it was hard to get them out. They weren't going to leave their air conditioners. And that was a contingency on the house sale. And so I was fighting, literally. Like, I remember being in tears, because it was just when they told me they were Mexican nationals and not citizens and that they might owe taxes, I was like, I'm out.
What does Mexican nationals mean?
That means they were on, a sort of visa-esque. She was, anyway.
Okay.
Visa ran out, but all of her people that were living there were illegals.
Right.
So it was think of it like a crack house of illegals.
Yeah, so there was like illegal, apart from being illegal, there was illegal stuff going on.
No, I think it was Mexicans trying to make a living and live. I think that's what it was. But because they were illegal, she was a Mexican national, her visa ran out, but she owed taxes on the house. I mean, it was such a drama.
So it just made it harder.
Harder for us to get through the deal because it was like there was so much stuff I'd find out about them.
Yeah.
And I keep getting their mail, and I'm like, they don't live here anymore. Nobody lives. It's me. It's this cute little family that has 2 kids. Leave us alone.
That's funny.
So I recommend it because you'll get a deal. But the cleanup we had to do, overall, they didn't mow their lawn for probably, I would say, 4 years.
Was it still alive? The lawn?
My husband mowed the top of it, and then underneath was like dirt. I mean, we had to re-sod, and now it's great. I mean, it took us a year. We still have stuff from them. Still have trash that we're...
Really?
I mean, but it's a beautiful house, and the people who had it before them really did a lot.
Mm.
And they just stopped. And that makes sense. I mean, I know people who weren't in that situation who are different short sale foreclosures who, you know, you just can't. Because if you were in a loan that was, what is it, interest for the first 3 years, when you get hit with that payment, you don't have it. You didn't have it when you started at 3%, and you don't have it now. And that was their situation.
Is that fixed, those interest-only loans?
Interest-only loans.
That, like, run out for a few years. And, yeah, I had a friend that got it. I don't know how they're doing now, but I think they moved to Northern California. But it was, the idea was, it was kind of the boom of real estate.
Yeah.
You get in these houses that you can't afford, but you can maintain for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And the idea is that you build equity and then you flip it, right?
Yeah, and they weren't flipping it because they did nothing. Mm-hmm. But the guy before them had the house for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened.
Right.
But, you know, we got it now, and we'll keep it. And we have to keep it for 3 years pursuant to the FHA. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, we have to pay the $8,000 back to Obama so he can buy a new car or something.
There you go. He could use it.
So that's the story. I mean, if anyone wants to talk to me offline about it, I can give you all the dirty. But
no, that's good for people to know, too, because it's like the new fad is short sales. It's just like when people are getting into stuff that's just kind of the in thing to do. And it's like, okay, we'll really investigate it.
Yeah.
Know what you're getting into.
Yep. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. We are out of time. Listen, everybody, to Mary Kennedy every Tuesday at 7 on Channel 1.
Channel 2.
Old Mary, Channel 2. What? You know what? Don't even listen to me. Just go on the friggin' website.
I'm sorry. 7 p.m.
No, I'm sorry.
Not 7 a.m. Yeah.
7 p.m. Did I say 7
a.m.? No, I'm just doing.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let's do it again. Mary's show is called Oh Mary. It's on Tuesdays at 7 on Channel 2. So don't miss it. It's a great show, very successful. And we thank you so much for joining us, Mary.
So much fun.
And do you have a website or anything you want people to find you?
They can either Facebook me, or they can go to www.marykennedy.info.
Sounds good. Okay. Kara, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.